Rain could bring flash flooding to areas recently burned by wildfires. Good evening, I'm Courtney Anderson, and that's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition. Flathead reporter Katrin Fry profiles a ranger who is 93 years young. And in our feature interview, news director Sally Mock talks with co-owners of a new company that is bringing healthy snacks to schools and offices. Some homeowners who are still dealing with the aftermath of major wildfires now face a new potential problem, rain and lots of it. At first blush, a good soaking seems like sweet relief from this summer's fire threat, but National Weather Service Warning Coordination meteorologist Marty Whitmore says these showers may produce intense rainfall.
If we can get some showers and thunderstorms generated here during the warmer part of the day, they're liable to be really, really juicy and heavy rain producers. And so everywhere, you know, from certainly west central Montana southward has a potential to get heavy rain through this evening. We're particularly worried from a flash flood standpoint about those vulnerable areas like some of the recent burn scar areas, the Lolo Creek Complex, maybe first and foremost because of its vulnerabilities, but also some areas like the city of Butte north of the interstate tends to have issues when they have heavy precipitation and places like that along highway corridors and things with steep cut banks, and all those areas could see some issues.
Some areas will see just light to moderate showers, but others may receive up to a half an inch to three quarters of an inch of rain within a half an hour to an hour's time. Whitmore advises people who live in mountainous, wildfire-torched areas to have a plan, to be ready to leave at a moment's notice, because simple flooding isn't the main issue.
This is not like your main stem flooding that you might build a 2 or 3 foot, 4 foot sandbag wall and prevent. These things come down with a force that you're not going to stop. you can certainly try to do some diversion tactics, but when it occurs, you better not be there. When it burns out severely, you know, there's nothing really to hold that water in. So yeah, it's a muddy torrent of rocks, boulders, mud, dirt, trees, things like that.
Most of our listening area dealt with a sweltering hot August, temperatures routinely ranging from the mid-80s to at least the mid-90s. September is starting off with a break from the heat wave.
The feature that has been kind of a forecast problem for us for over a week now is this upper-level low system that's spinning off the northwest coast, and the models just haven't been real sure on when to bring it in, but we're feeling pretty confident that thing is going to move in, probably make landfall on Thursday. The air mass right ahead of that thing for us could be even strongly convective. We're worried about strong thunderstorms, again with the heavy rain, but also potential some hail and wind. But then that thing will drift real slowly across the Northern Rockies, and I think we're looking at an unsettled period, probably cool, showery, that sort of thing, right on through the weekend and before that thing probably drifts off to our east on Monday or Tuesday.
But Whitmore won't go as far to call this inbound weather system a wildfire season ender. He says a strong high pressure system will likely move in right behind it next week. If that happens, that'll bring great weather, but also once again start to dry out those forest fuels. Speaking of, Missoula County fire officials downgraded fire danger today from extreme to very high. The move is in response to the moisture entering southwest Montana and shorter burn periods given as days get shorter. Officials say this announcement should not be taken as an end of fire season. Until rains are widespread and wetting, fuels will remain dry and fires will continue to present problems to responders, especially when driven by high winds. Stage 1 restriction remains in effect in most of west central Montana and won't be rescinded until the area receives widespread wetting precipitation. And another news from around the state, a Montana judge has ordered a new sentencing hearing for a former teacher who received just 30 days in prison for raping a student who later killed herself. District Judge G. Todd Baugh said in today's order that a 2-year mandatory minimum prison term for Stacey Rambold appears to be required under state law. Baugh has faced widespread condemnation from women's rights advocates, elected officials, and others for saying Rambold's 14-year-old victim was older than her chronological age. He later apologized. Prosecutors had been considering an appeal, citing the 2-year minimum requirement. But in a strange twist, the Yellowstone County attorney says Baugh may lack authority to impose such a sentence at this point. That's because state law says an illegal sentence must be handled through an appeal. Glacier, as a national park, was only 10 years old when Lyle Rudaboris was born. When the first car drove over the completed Going to the Sun Highway, Rudaboris was 13. In his 70s, he became a ranger and his wife Marge a campground host at the remote Kintla Lake Campground. More than 20 years later, at the age of 93 and a half, he's still the camp ranger. Rudaboris tells Flathead reporter Katrin Fry he considers traffic one of the biggest changes he's seen in his years of coming to Glacier Park.
Oh, it's just a madhouse here. It's getting so popular a place that we just don't know what to do. We only have 7 parking places, and on an average Saturday we have about 50 cars come in, and on Sunday we have about 60. 7 places to park them.
93-year-old Kintla Lake Park Ranger Lyle Rudaboris greets nearly all of those vehicles as they pull into the remote campground.
Now, when I came here, you won't believe this. When I came here, that hill there was just as bare as this street. This turn here, they cut around that tree. My wife and I planted all those trees in there. And then we planted the trees between those sites. Now, I put the walks to the river because people put their tents there and nobody get through, see? And there was no logs on these campsites at all. I called all of those logs in and put them there myself.
Rudaboris points to a hillside featuring large trees keeping the campground shaded and an island of young trees in the center of the road that circles through the campground. Small diameter logs mark out pathways, campsites, and leveled tent pads. The Kintla campground has 12 campsites, plus one for the host. People access Kintla through the campground 15 miles up a slow, rocky dirt road from Polebridge and near the Canadian border. Rudaboris says the deepest part of the glacier-carved lake dips down more than 400 feet, and he says its water clarity sets the standard. He says Kintla is the jumping-off point for a lot of hikers.
You can go any place in the park from the head of Kintla Lake. I mean, this head of the Boulder Pass Trail. You see, that was originally an early man trail, even before the Indians this came down through here. This is an ancient campground here.
Rudaboris says he, his wife Marge, and their 6 kids started coming to Glacier National Park in 1962. In the mid-1980s, they became campground hosts at the Avalanche Campground. He became a ranger, and Marge took care of the campground host duties at Kintla Lake starting in the early 1990s. The two took care of the area as a team until her death 8 years ago. Beyond taking care of the area and patrolling, the two also hiked avidly.
Well, my wife and I hiked all of them. The only place that I haven't hiked in the whole park is in Nyack Valley. And that's over there south, way down. And it's pretty rough. And you had to ford the Flathead River to get into it. So we just stayed away from it.
Rudaboris' wedding ring is well worn in on his left third finger. On his pinky, he wears a smaller, thinner gold band.
It'll start coming out of here before you get water.
Rudaboris helps a couple work the hand pump to procure drinking water. He says ranger duties have changed over the past 20-plus years. Now, the park hires backcountry rangers to do the things he used to do, particularly patrolling.
My number one is the public. Number two is taking care of the resources. And number three is I have to keep things in shape around the place.
Today, Rudaboris says his responsibilities include answering questions, keeping up the campground, and making sure people are keeping their campsites clear of bear attractants.
Now, my 22 years here, I've never had a bear food encounter. Not once. You knock on wood, because that may happen tonight. See what I mean?
Another duty is chopping and stacking firewood at the Kintla Ranger Station. Rudaboris will celebrate his 94th birthday in February.
It seems to me that I've lived a pretty straight life, I've never drank. I've never smoked. And my attitude is, when I'm talking to you, I feel the same age as you are. I never feel older. No older than anybody, even my great-grandchildren.
Or his great-great-grandchildren. Ruderbori says he has 10 grandchildren, 20 great-grandchildren, and 7 great-great-grandchildren. He walks with a bit of a limp now. He says he's considering knee replacement surgery.
Everybody's talking to me. Get a new joint in there, then you'll be good for another 10 years. Well.
So if you get that knee fixed, then you'll
be
back?
I'm going back next year. I'll be here. Mm-hmm.
By this weekend, Ruderbori's will have his 1984 Westfalia van packed up, pulling his 1973 VW Bug back to his home in Colorado. But this is unlikely to be his last trip home from Glacier National Park. Katrin Fryett reporting from the Flathead.
Take care.
We'll see you.
You get that craving, say, mid-afternoon when the computer is down and dinner is still hours away. You go to the vending machine and punch the Cheetos button. There's a momentary flash of guilt, but the craving is satisfied for now. But what if the vending machine offered snacks that were all healthy and guilt-free? That's the premise behind a new Missoula business called Missoula Healthy Vending, which offers vending machines full of healthy snacks like almonds and whole grain cookies. A national franchise called Human Healthy Vending supplies the machines, but Missoula owners Alex and Sarah Bayer pick the products and so far have placed their machines at the Missoula YMCA and Bonner School, among others. In this feature interview, the Bayers' former college athletes talk with news director Sally Mock about their interests in healthy living and healthy snacks.
As soon as I was aware of what was important and good to eat growing up, changed everything. I lost weight in college, believe it or not, and started thinking about different things to eat. So, and now we've got a son, so it's all about nutrition for us here.
So you've gotten involved in the healthy vending movement, and I think it is kind of a movement. Sarah, wouldn't you say that there is so much more awareness now that people, we are snack prone, and we actually need snacks sometimes, don't we, to throughout the day boost our energy and so on. But there's a movement now to make those snacks healthier.
I think that's true. As busy as we all are in American culture, we're always on the go, and it's important to have a nutritious option when we're away from home, when we're too busy to pack something fast, and that's something that we're trying to provide here.
But we've all, Alex, grown up with snacks being sugar and fat.
Absolutely.
I used to have a Snickers bar for breakfast for many years. Don't do that anymore, thank goodness. But it's ingrained in us, isn't it?
It is. And we were talking about it last night, kind of going over some stories when we were kids. We didn't know each other then, but the stories are the same. And you go to school and your options are honey buns and sweet teas and all kinds of things that now I've gotten a little better with, but it's still easier to find those things than it is to find healthier things.
It's not just access, though. It's also attitude. How do we change those old habits? Because really, when you think of a snack, and even though many of us now are much more aware of the lack of nutritional value in most snacks that are available anyway, we still have that old habit to break. Right, Sarah?
I think that's true. But one thing that's changed in recent years is that healthy snacks taste a lot better. There's a lot of companies out there that are, tweaking their recipes or coming out with different products that are better for you. And those are the ones that we're seeking out and offering here. And one of the things that we do with Missoula Healthy Vending when we place a machine in a new location is to hold a sampling event to provide, free snacks, free samples of different products so that people can see that they aren't what they're used to thinking of as healthy snacks.
Before we sat down for this interview, I went and checked our vending machines in this building just to remind myself what's in there. And it's interesting because a lot of it is the traditional unnutritious snacks like candy bars and potato chips, but there might be one baked chip in the vending machine, and then there was a granola bar in there.
You'll see a lot of machines around town, and you'll see stickers on these machines suggesting certain things might even be healthy. Interesting suggestions, Rice Krispie Treats, Pop-Tarts as healthy treats, which everybody gets a giggle about. But even though you have them side by side in a machine, you'll see the coils that are empty are the candy and the products everybody's already familiar with. People buy what they know.
Right, so that's the habit we all need to learn to break, isn't it? And also what's touted as healthy often isn't. Like granola bars can be very heavy in sugar, for example, and fat.
Yep, there's a lot of sugar and a lot of fat in most products. Think of how much sugar is actually in milk. And there's a lot of things that you aren't necessarily aware of. There's been some great TED Talks. I don't know if you listen to TED Talks or not or watch any of those, but there's been some great clips about some visually stunning things about sugar and milk that kids drink. And
but we don't want to necessarily say kids shouldn't drink milk.
No, absolutely not. Certainly better than other drinks. But think about, you know, everybody thinks milk is healthy, and it's much better than certain drinks. But if you take that same statistic and look at most of the drinks kids are drinking, you'll find a lot of sugars. And a lot of the snacks that they offer.
So you have brought some snacks with you today that are in mm-hmm. your vending machines. Let's take a look at some of those and see what's good about those versus the alternatives that we're all more familiar with.
Absolutely. And actually, the products that we brought here, we brought specifically because they fit certain guidelines. Just brought like a few here.
Be federal mm-hmm. guidelines you're talking about?
Right. The new Smart Snacks in School guidelines that...
Talk about that more, Sarah. This is a new thing.
Sure. These are new federal guidelines put out by the USDA, and they will apply to competitive foods in all schools that accept assistance from the National School Lunch Program. So competitive foods would be foods sold in vending machines, foods in the a la carte line, as well as things sold in school stores. I think those are the three. And these new guidelines, they impose restrictions on calories. They also encourage consumptions of whole grains, dairy, fruits, and vegetables. And they work on a 35-10-35 rule. So 35% or less of the calories can come from fat. 10% or less of the calories can come from saturated fat. And then the product can't be any more than 35% sugar by weight. So these are going to be minimum guidelines. Individual schools and school districts can impose stricter ones, but these will be new minimum guidelines. And each of the products that we brought today fit those guidelines, and some of them are already bestsellers in our machines, even mm-hmm. before these guidelines are in place.
Let's look at one of these kettle corn. Mm-hmm. I love kettle corn. I never think of that as being healthy, though. Why is this kettle corn healthy, Alex?
Well, this is the company is called Popcorn Indiana, and certain companies are adjusting flavors people are already familiar with and trying to ease into the healthier side of things. So you're looking at, as far as a big thing is portion size, right? And that a lot of these guidelines point towards that with percentages of certain things, of the fat, of the calories. And your portion size, especially on drinks, you'll see are just giant. You see a lot of these big gulps walking around. In this case, with these... popcorn here, it's less than 100 calories in a bag, 92 calories in a serving, which is a bag. Zero saturated fat, zero trans fat. You have a little sweetness, but even the level of sugar in this bag is far less than most treats you'll find in most machines.
And then there's a monkey bar here, which looks kind of like a candy bar, and it says it's got banana, peanut butter, and chocolate, and it's crazy healthy, it says. Often these don't taste good. Some of these healthy bars. Can mm-hmm. I do a taste test?
Of course.
Here?
Certainly.
That's why they're here.
This is, my job is so hard sometimes. Okay, here we go. I taste the banana, taste the chocolate. It's not super sweet. It would be satisfying, I think. Yeah?
It'll fill you up, too. Mm-hmm. And a big part of the reason to get bars is when I have a quick snack, it's not going to just leave you hungry. And a lot of bars, as you've mentioned, are high in sugar or high in fat.
Right, and these are so-called granola bars often, though.
Right.
Only because they have a little bit of granola in them.
the first ingredient in that one is a whole grain blend, so it'll give you a good dose of fiber and keep you full and satisfied longer.
Mm-hmm. And some fruit, you know, with some
banana. With the banana.
Right. But anything chocolate, I'm fine with.
Right. Turns out kids like chocolate, too.
And then, of course, almonds, which are... healthy and mm-hmm. a good snack. So what do you think is the trick to getting kids and adults to make that switch so that they look at healthy treats and they don't go, you know, not for me, I want something more traditional?
I think the biggest thing is access and making it easy for people to make the right decision. Like we were talking about earlier, when you have a snack machine and you have a candy bar next to a healthier snack, it's tough for kids to choose the new thing or the thing that they're unsure of. If you can give them a whole host of healthy options, introduce them to some new products and sampling events like we do, once they're familiar with it and they know that it tastes good and it's there and available for them, it's easy to make the right choice.
So if the whole machine is full of healthy treats versus one or two against the tough competition. Mm-hmm. That's a big change.
Right, you can't make the wrong choice. Right.
Right.
It's really easy.
It's which right choice are you going to make?
Right. So what's your favorite snacks there?
Actually, I really like these cookies. This is a whole grain chocolate chip cookie. And this is a new product, actually, that we've recently brought in. Since we have sort of a whole network of healthy vending operators like us all over the country, we try and share new ideas with each other. And this is an operator like us out of California that came up with this product and kind of pushed it out to everyone else. You said you're a chocolate fan if you want another
I should give this a taste reading. You can see me looking at it longingly here.
It almost seems counterintuitive that a chocolate chip cookie would be healthful, but it's a whole grain cookie.
It's soft.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, that's good.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Again, our big audience here, I mean, adults, of course, but kids. I mean, if you're looking at what kids are going to buy, you can't have a lot of alfalfa bars. No, nobody right. wants that, right? Not many, at least.
But if it says chocolate on the outside, that's right. A seller.
It's a cookie. And this company, they've done a lot of great things. With, again, fitting the guidelines the schools are going to have to change to. In the next year, this is going to be imposed upon most of the schools in our area. And it looks like that's going to be a big change for what they're offering currently. You've seen the machines here. Those are similar to the machines they're going to have in schools, too. A lot of those machines have candy in them. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. And, of course, that won't be allowed.
Well, you mentioned portion control earlier, Alex, and, like, there's only one cookie in this package, mm-hmm. and the kettle corn is a small package, because that's part of the transition, too, isn't it, is learning to be satisfied with something less than an enormous package of something.
I think it's a big part of it. The fact that these really are snacks. It's not meant to replace a meal. We do have some machines in some of our locations that look for more meal options, and we offer that too. But for the most part, we're looking at between the meals, and what are they snacking on? What's going to give them a little extra energy for their practice? What's going to get them through the morning if they didn't get the full breakfast they really probably should have at home because they're in a hurry or for whatever reason they just have trouble getting up that morning? And these are the snacks that are going to help get through that. And so we have things like almonds. Go-Go Squeeze is more of an apple sauce, which kids love these. And you'll find in a lot of health magazines where they'll say, things like almonds are great fillers. And they'll make you really feel more full than you might have thought because of the protein. So it depends what you're getting. You don't need a giant portion. Americans love big portions.
Right. Well, we're in a transition, and you are kind of on the cutting edge of it in terms of your vending machine business, Sarah. So good timing, I would say.
Absolutely. We're excited about it, and to be able to bring something new to a community like Missoula that's already health conscious. So far, we've really been well received, and we're excited to move forward with it, especially with the new guidelines coming out in the schools.
I have been speaking with Sarah and Alex Baer. They're owners of Missoula Healthy Vending. They provide vending machines to schools and whomever, workplaces that have healthy snacks in them. And really interesting to talk about those. And thanks for the samples. I appreciate
of course.
It.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
And in tonight's forecast, across our listening area tonight, rain showers and thunderstorms are likely and may produce gusty winds and heavy rainfall. Lows will be in the upper 40s to mid-50s. Tomorrow, expect mostly cloudy skies with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be in the 80s. And now for the editorial comments of Pat Williams.
As with all Montanans and Americans, I too am watching and wondering about our nation's military response to the use of chemical weapons, apparently by the Syrian leaders, perhaps the Assad regime. What, if anything, should the United States do? As one who for 18 years had the authority to consider and vote on such military matters, I have been reading and listening to both sides of the debate in this important decision, trying to decide just for myself, what would I do if I were still a member of the U.S. Congress? During my 18 years in the House, we were faced with 7 such decisions. In 1982, Lebanon. You may recall that's when 241 Marines were killed while they slept in their barracks by a bomber. In 1983, Grenada. That was Ronald Reagan, in my opinion, trying to divert attention from the disaster in Lebanon in that Marine barracks. In 89, Panama, the Panama Canal, that was a foolish invasion. And then Desert Storm in 91, Iraq. And George W. Bush having that sign behind him that claimed mission accomplished when we were a long way from that. In 93, it was Somalia. In 94, Haiti. In 95, Bosnia. Since then, I left the Congress to come back to Montana about then. And since then, the Congress, the President, have supported actions in Kosovo, Afghanistan after 9/11, and Iraq, getting Saddam Hussein. Afghanistan and Iraq are now the longest-running wars in American history, and I don't see an end in sight. I will add that in the instances of the seven wars or military actions that I had to vote on, I usually voted against almost all of them. So now I'm just considering the questions and demands that usually constitute Congress's decision on such military inventions. One thing they'll consider is this. Will an invasion of Syria by men or missiles make the problem better or worse? In my opinion, they have made matters worse during the past 30 years, such actions have. Second, Congress always asks itself, should America go it alone? Usually the answer to that is no. We now know that the British Parliament has voted against being a partner to the U.S. in this military action against Syria. Israel, for perhaps geopolitical purposes, has remained neutral. The French seem to be with us. It seems to me that our president should demand assistance and approval from the Mideast states of what's called the Arab League, most notably the countries of Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Egypt, and the United Arab Emirates. This is more their fight than it is ours. The third question I expect that Congress is considering is this. What's the goal, the follow-up, of our military action? Yes, there's no doubt that the power of the United States military force can change any military balance. But is it likely to resolve the real underlying problems in Syria and much of the Middle East? And those problems are historic and deep. They're ethnic, religious, and tribal. My own view is the answer to whether we can change that is emphatically no. We cannot reverse thousands of years of history. Fourth, although there are many other questions that Congress will ask, this final one I'd like to share with you is this. Is the United States the world's parent? Can we be the international judge, jury, and executioner? During his nearly 5 years in office, President Obama has used military action with the greatest and, I think, wisest caution. And now he's gone to the United States Congress to ask their opinion and to help him improve his plans. This president is not a hawk. And in my opinion, we have been better off for it. But now that he is proposing action, the question is, under which international law is he proposing military action against Syria? The answer is, there are none. Our pending action, even with congressional approval, is neither sanctioned nor condoned by any international law. Perhaps the Congress will, with some important changes, improve the administration's military plans for Syria. In doing so, however, I believe an attack on Syria, as corrupt and savage as some of its leaders might be. I believe such an attack would likely be a mistake, leading to ever-widening chaos and war in the Middle East. This is Pat Williams. Thank you for listening.
Pat Williams is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Courtney Anderson. Thanks for listening, and please join Edward O'Brien tomorrow at 7, 8, and 8:30 for Montana Morning News.